Good evening. Welcome to our Friday night podcast. God bless you for being here with us. I'm so glad to be able to be back this week. Last week we took the week off. We were preparing for our Pentecost service, the dedication of our altar. But we're so glad to be back with you to talk about remnant things together with you this week. I've got my wife Julie, my son Benji over here, Nat's over there producing, and we're glad to be able to be here with you. So, as I just said, last Sunday, we had a very special Pentecost service. We had a tent outside, and as you know, it's been right around 50 years that my dad, who preceded me as prophet of God here, and then his prophet, our Uncle Aram Meshagan, it was right at 50 years ago when Uncle Aram came to visit here and took my dad, or went with my dad, out into what was then a cow pasture. And at one point, being out in the cow pasture, he grabbed my dad and said to him, "Sam, we have to get down on our knees right now, right here." And being such a mighty prophet, and he was a seer, and he would see things. I don't know what he saw, but whatever he saw told him that they needed to get on the ground at that point and worship and call upon the Lord, which they did. This story was recounted to me, I don't know how many times, by my dad, where he would say, right out there in the field is where he stopped and had us call upon the Lord. And as many of you already know, the Lord spoke a couple of years ago that we were to not take lightly that spot. And we don't know everything that will be in the future surrounding the area, but we do know that God prophesied over this place, a city on a hill. And that is the name, of course, of this ministry. But a couple of years ago, we decided by faith that we were going to step into the spirit world, and a part of that faith was going to be that we were going to mark that spot somehow where these two prophets prayed. And we were going to add our faith to their faith and say, "God, we believe that you did something special at this spot." And now, along with our faith, with those two prophets that are no longer here, we're showing you that we believe that you marked this spot. And we're showing you that we so believe that we're going to honor this spot. And now, I guess it's been for three times we have gone out there at Pentecost and had our tent right there at that spot and had our service. But this year was different. This year, God told us that we were crossing over the threshold into this spiritual ark that was prophesied over this place decades ago, this ark of protection, this holy ark. And I can't get into everything that God has said about that. Most of you, if you're watching and you know who we are, you know what I'm talking about. But God said we're crossing over the threshold this year, and to honor and mark that crossing over, we wanted to take our step of faith another step further with this special spot that these two prophets knelt at 50 years ago. And so we decided it was time to build an altar, that we would build an altar just like they did in days gone by in the Word of God, that we would build an altar that would, first of all, show God our faith. Second of all, would honor God. Third of all, would honor those two prophets for their faith, for what they did. And then fourth, it would propel us into the promises that God has spoken about that very spot and about what God is doing here. And help take us into that next level of crossing over the threshold into this holy ark of protection as we prepare for whatever is going to be coming down the tracks in the future, because we know it's coming. Yes. We know it's coming. And so we just want to take a little bit of time this evening and really just talk about this altar, why we built the altar. You know, it is one of the things I didn't mention. I mentioned four things, but maybe the fifth thing I should have mentioned is this, is that that altar, and if you've seen it, you know, we didn't just, it's not like this little altar. We built an altar. It's 7 feet by 5 feet, I believe.
So it would be visible. Visible from the road,
so it will be visible
for all to see.
It will be visible. Hopefully, it will be visible from Google Earth. You know, as from the satellites. We're laughing, but we're serious. We want everyone to know when they drive by, those people are hollowing God at that spot. We want everyone to say, there's an altar, or even, why is there an altar there?
Right.
We want everyone to say, do they think that they're still living in the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. And we want to be able to say, there's no Old Testament, there's only God's Word.
Right.
That's what we want to be able to say. And so it stands as a testament to what God has done, but it stands as a promise to what He's going to do. And so we purposely wanted this thing to be known, to be visible, and we want it to be able to be there until Jesus returns as a sign that these people believed, mm-hmm. and that these prophets that came before them believed, and that the heritage that came before those prophets believed, and that they believed that they were chosen of God. They believed that God gave them a promise, and they acted upon that promise in faith. And it now has come to this, to where it's now an altar for everyone to see that says, this is what happened, and this is what we know is going to happen. And so we built an altar. If you haven't seen it yet, I know we've got videos online of our service and the dedication of it, where we poured the anointing oil out around it and on it. You can certainly view that, or you can come and see the altar for yourself. But, you know, let's just talk about this whole altar idea for a minute. Let me just bring up a couple of examples. I know some things maybe you want to say, maybe you want to say. But the Bible says, there's so many examples. I really had to just kind of pick a couple. But the Bible says that Abram, before he was even Abraham, he was Abram. And he says he went into the promised land. He left all his old stuff behind, went into the land of promise that God spoke to him. And it says that he went moving around his tent looking at all the land that God had given him by promise. He said, this is all going to be yours, and it's going to be all your seed. This is for you. And it says he moved his tent around looking. And then it says God came and visited him. And after God visited him, it said Abram built an altar. He built an altar because he said, this is holy ground. God visited me here. This is holy ground. And everyone that comes by here needs to know that God visited me here in this spot. So if you want to understand a little bit about why we did what we did, that's because God visited those two prophets in that spot. God visited them and spoke to them, and Aram is the one that prophesied our name here. Again, going back 50 years ago, city on a hill. And so we marked that spot where God visited them, but not just them. He visited us, and we marked it to say, this is holy ground. And for people, it is a sad testament today. It is sad and a shame on what is, well, it's what's considered the church world today. It is a shame that it has become a lost, lost to them that there are places of holiness that should be honored, not as an idol is honored, but unto the Lord. The Bible says that Elijah was on top of Mount Carmel, and there was an altar that had been broken down. And it says that he was getting ready. He wanted the fire to come down. Who doesn't want the fire to come down, right? He wanted the fire to come down. He gave the false prophets, hundreds of them, their opportunity, and they all failed. And it's, again, it's such a shame that we give more attention to the false prophets than to the one true prophet. But this one prophet of God, he went to the altar of the Lord, which had been broken down because the attention was given to the false gods. And don't make any mistake. That's exactly what's happening in the church world today. Mm-hmm. Oh, they might use the name of Jesus. They might throw around the name of Jesus. They might throw around some of the rituals like baptism. But make no mistake about it. They're still calling out to the false gods, and they don't even know it. But Elijah went to this little altar that had been broken down, and it says he put it back together, and it says he built an altar. And this is the words that it uses. It says he built an altar unto the Lord. And it was that simple. And that's what we did out there. We built an altar unto the Lord. It was to honor him, and it was to have faith in him, and it was to show him that we're going to be those people that you chose, and we're going to do it the way you want us to do it, Lord. And to show you that, we're going to build an altar that not only is to be looked at, but is to be used, to be prayed upon, for people to come and call out to God with holy hands. Everybody lifts up hands, everybody. But it is that remnant, that 1%, that lifts up holy hands.
And I've noticed something about every time that there's an altar mentioned in the Bible, either being built or being prayed on. The one that came to my mind is when Jacob built an altar where he called the place El Bethel. In Genesis 35, verse 7, it says, "And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother." Where it says God appeared to him, I noticed that every time we have an altar mentioned, it's about God coming down and meeting that person who is praying on the altar, building the altar. It's where they're meeting. And I really wanted to bring that up because I think that's important for us to mention when it comes to our altar. We built that altar for all these purposes, including going to that altar so that we can meet God.
Well, let's talk about that for just one more moment, because if you look at Jacob and then go into the future many years, when he needed an answer from God, what did he do? He went back to that same place. He went back to that exact same spot and said, "God, you met me here before. I need you to meet me here again." And that's another aspect of why we did what we did. Because if God showed, if he showed Aram Meshagan, if you don't know who these people are I'm talking about, there has been no greater prophet than you could have known than the ones that I'm talking about. And if God showed him something to kneel at that exact spot, then that's a spot we want to go back to over and over and over again. That's a spot we want to head back to and say, "God, you showed him something here. You showed him something. So if you showed this great prophet something, then we want to go back there." And that's what Jacob did. The angels of the Lord went up and down on his spot, and he said, "I'm going to go back there years later. I'm going to go back there because I need God to visit me once again." And that's where we get the whole story of him wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And you could go read about that yourself. But it's about that altar. That altar. And another example, and I talked about this, I guess it was last week during one of our services, but I mentioned Noah's altar, because that's what we're doing. God has built a spiritual ark here of protection. And Jesus said the last days are going to be like the days of Noah. And so we read about Noah, and it's become important to us what it says. And it says that Noah and his family exited the ark. The land was dried up. They left the ark, went out on dry land, and it says immediately, it says Noah built an altar to the Lord. And not only did he build an altar, but this is what it says next. It says, and there was a soothing aroma, a good-smelling aroma to the Lord, because God was pleased. He had gotten rid of the unholiness out of the land. Noah and his family were honoring God with a holy altar, and God's, that smells so good. And so that's another reason we're doing this altar to the Lord, to please God, to show God, we're doing something in holiness for you. We're doing something to please you. We're doing something to show you that we want to please you, Lord. And you know, you got to think about, and I know you were talking about this. You got to think about the things that we do in our lives to show things.
Man.
We wear shirts and jerseys and hats and all types of things to show what team that we're pulling for, but we're not willing to come and bow on an altar that's been built to say, God, we're showing you. And what people say is, well, I can kneel to God anywhere. And if that's the way you think about it, then I'm telling you, you're not a part of the remnant. If that's the way you think, well, I can just go anywhere. Because what you should be saying is, I'm going to kneel to God everywhere, and I'm going to find where his holy anointed altar is and make a point to go there and worship. I'm not going to try to find a reason why I don't have to go to where an anointed altar is. I'm not going to do that. If you're doing that, you're just trying to find what's the easiest way for me to serve God. And those people, I don't know if those people even make it to heaven.
It means you're not holding it sacred.
Exactly.
Well, in the spirit of what you were saying before about our discussion, on purpose, I'm not going to get specific because I don't want to offend anyone. But, I mean, I'm talking about people basically make almost pilgrimages to certain places. Stadiums and things like that, and they plan their whole entire schedule around events and things that are going to take place at these sporting stadiums, and tell everyone, don't plan anything, don't schedule anything on these particular days, because that's where I'm going to be on those days to honor these certain sports entities.
Listen.
it is serious business, and listen, they plan their whole lives around it.
Let me just get more specific, because I've got broad shoulders. let me get more specific. But you know, my nephew David plays on the UGA football team. He plays on it. What a blessing from the Lord that he's been able to. It's been. God did that for him, by the way.
Yes.
Let me just make that clear. God did that for him. And that's maybe a story for another time, but God did that for him. So we know of what we speak when we live here right in the shadow of UGA. I've sent all my kids there to school. And how many times have we heard people over the years say things like, well, if you schedule something for church, or you schedule a wedding or something, I won't be there if it's on a football day. Think about that. Think about what you've made your God. Think about that. When what we should be saying is, Lord, I'll do anything to get to that altar out there. I'll do anything. I'll do anything. That's what Jacob said. Well, that's Old Testament. Again, if that's the way you view God, then you have a wrong view of God, and I doubt your relationship with the Lord. And again, I'm going to start, I have to be bold. Because Jesus said there are few who find it.
You know, there's a mention in Revelation chapter 16 of an altar in heaven. Why would there be an altar in heaven if it's not something that's a valid thing that represents the presence of God? We know that Jesus died and was the final sacrifice and was the Lamb of God. Why does there need to be an altar in heaven? Why is there a mention of it? altars are a place of significance that no one's going to change that.
Well, again, and they're significant if they come out of where the anointing is. Yes. Not yes. just because you yes. make an altar.
Yes.
It has to be where the anointing is. It just does. And nothing matters without the anointing. I talked about this on Wednesday night. Go watch Wednesday night's message because it was important. But without the anointing, the Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, which is another way of saying what I'm saying. Without the anointing, it doesn't matter. It's bondage. Without the anointing, it doesn't matter.
And how do you know if the anointing is involved? From reading in the Bible and all the different dozens of incidences where they built an altar that wasn't for the specific purpose of sacrifice, but was for a specific purpose of something else, an altar of visitation, an altar yes. of prayer and intercession.
And just like Jacob.
And look what yes. followed the building of that. When Manoah and his wife built an altar, and who came out of that? Samson, who was a mighty warrior that God raised up for a yeah. specific purpose.
Yes.
There's so many examples of that. It was the anointing, and look what came out of it.
Again, and that's why people say, how can you be so sure? How can you be so sure? And I say it's because of the anointing of this heritage. Mm-hmm. Because God has a drawn a line down to where we are right here. And as I said on Wednesday, there's so much, so many words, so many prophetic promises, so many things that have happened, so many that are yet to happen. We come from a line of the anointing, and I don't say that to pat myself on the back. Mm-hmm. I say it. That's why I'm so sure. That's why I know. And people say, well, I'm sure about this. And, well, you go ahead and be sure how you want to be sure. I'm sure because we have the anointing that has followed us. And so out of all of that, we built an altar. We built an altar unto the Lord. We built an altar to honor God, to remember what he spoke to these two prophets, to remember that he told them a city set on a hill. To remember that was a spot that God came and said to this one prophet, we have to kneel down right here, right now. I could still picture my dad showing me how Aram would say, right here in this spot, right here. We have to do it right here. If you don't, you have to understand how meaningful that should be. And how meaningful it is to me, and right here.
And it's not by coincidence, because he had to have been led here at some point. Because before that, my grandfather lived in California.
Well,
he had to be led all the way over here for a reason.
That, you know, that's the bigger story of it. That's exactly right. Well, I don't know. Do you have anything else about the altar you wanted to say? I want to encourage you. Come and see. And we've made it clear that this altar is holy. It's not to bring unholy things. It's not to bring unholy people. It's not to bring our animals up to this. It's not for that. This is a place of holy. This is not a park. It's right. a place of holiness.
Right.
A place of holiness for holy ground. And that's the way it will be treated, as holy ground. And I want to make sure, because we minister week after week, and God has begun to make things even much more clear to us, but we minister week after week, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We minister week after week where Jesus said, there are few who find it. And I said on Wednesday night, and we'll kind of bring this to a close with this, I said on Wednesday night that if you don't believe, then you're not a part of the few. And I said, but believing doesn't mean what people think that it means. We've got this whole idea, you know, the Word of God says, if you confess with your mouth, And
this is Lord.
Believe in your heart
that God raised him from the dead.
And then said, you said, people say, look how easy it is. But people, they don't understand what believing actually means. We have in the church today, we have made confessing and believing to mean that if you say a few words, then that means you believe and you're good, you're saved. If I say a few words, Jesus, will you just come live in my heart? Then that means you believe and that you're saved. That's not what the Word of God teaches. That's not. And that's why there are few who find it. Because if you actually read the Word of God, and this is what I talked about on Wednesday, this is what it means to believe. Jesus said, it's like a man who found a pearl of great price, and he went and sold everything that he had to go buy that pearl. He said, it's like the man who found a hidden treasure in a field, and he went and sold everything that he had to go and buy that field. That's believing. That's believing. That's why Jesus said, if you want to gain your life, you have to lose it.
Right, right.
You have to lose everything. Everything has to be lost to you.
Relinquish your will.
And we were talking about this in the car yesterday. That's what people don't understand. They still have a will. People that still have a will, I'm starting to doubt that they're saved. If you have a will that you think you can make choices, if you think you can make choices, then you've not lost your life. You've not lost your life. And maybe you throw the name of Jesus around. Maybe you go to and bow on your knees sometimes. But that doesn't mean that you've lost your will. That doesn't mean you've lost your life.
And let me take it a little bit further. If you think that you can make choices still, the devil will prey upon it.
Absolutely, he will. And you better believe that you're going to make the wrong choice. You have to lose your will. That's salvation. That's what when it says confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Just because you say a few words, you know, there are denominations that have been built around here. They've got churches with thousands, if not tens of thousands of people sitting in them. And they've built them telling people, if you just say a few words and then we go and dunk you in water, you're gold. And maybe they give them a few other things to follow, you know, well, you know, if you come and do this and you put your kids in Sunday school and blah, 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 blah. Hey, this is the way we're going to live. But that's not the way Jesus explained believing. Jesus explained believing. He said, it's like having a field. And you go and you sell everything to go and buy that field. And that's not what people do. But that's the way we're going to live here at the City on a Hill. And that's why we built the altar, to say, God, we get it. We get it. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you've been with us this evening. Benji, close us out.
Right. As usual, we got our regular schedule going on. Sunday morning, 11 a.m. services. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. services in person and online on our social platforms. The Wednesday nights also include occasional ARC encounters in the fellowship hall at Pastor Danny's discretion. Our online ministry includes devotions every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. And our online platforms include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, City on a Hill Church, Coa Church. You can also listen to our podcasts on Spotify, anywhere else you get your podcast. Siri and Alexa can play those podcasts for you as well. And as always, we extend you an invitation to come and join us here at the City on a Hill. Come see what this new altar is all about and see what being the remnant is all about, seeing what having crossed over the threshold into the ark is all about.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, I tell our little group here all the time, if you're looking as a sign of a lot of people, then you're looking for the wrong thing. Because again, Jesus said there are few who find it. That's what he said. There are few who find it. And when you get a group of, I know I've talked about this so much, but recently on the same, during the same time we're dedicating this altar, they were trying to set the world record of baptisms. It sounds so holy. It sounds so good. It sounds so godly. We're going to baptize so many people. We're going to set the world record for baptisms. But you're not understanding the Word of God. And you're not understanding what it means to believe. And you're not understanding what God is looking for. You're not understanding. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And in Elijah's day, they did all the things. They did all the ritual things, all the baptism things. They did all those things. But their hearts weren't given to the Lord. And that's what God is looking at today.
And like you said several weeks ago, strive to enter the narrow gate. Jesus said it. He said, strive to enter the narrow gate.
He didn't say coast into the narrow gate. Think about that.
Jesus
didn't say coast. He didn't say, hey, float into the narrow gate. He didn't say, get an ice cream cone and just, oh, let's lick our cone while we walk through the narrow gate. He said, strive. And I've joked before, and we'll end with this. I've joked before and said, if I told you I'm inviting you to my house and said, we're going to go, come to my house, we're going to strive tonight, no one would come. If I say, hey, come have dinner at my house, we're going to strive. Everyone would be like, oh, I don't want to go strive. That doesn't sound like fun. But that's what Jesus said. He said, strive to go through the narrow gate. God bless you. We'll see you next time.